Assassin. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, week four did not disappoint. We had some crazy games this weekend. We had some upsets. We had some blowouts. We had some overtime games. And of course, we had our first London game, which was a blowout. So let's get started with the first London game of the season. It was the Atlanta Falcons at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yes, the Jaguars were technically the home team in this one, as they usually are. London's very own Jacksonville Jaguars, as they seem to be. But hey, they put on a good show for the home crowd. They ended up getting the win 23-7. Trevor Lawrence had a solid day, 207 yards and a touchdown. But man, it was really all about their defense. The Jaguars' defense, they had a pick six for 61 yards to get a touchdown there. They were just able to really cause some chaos defensively. And they just looked really good. And then on the opposing side, on the Falcons side of the ball, Desmond Ridder, he's just really not looking like a good quarterback at all. He is looking pretty bad these last couple of weeks in the last two losses. So he hasn't lost his job quite yet. But as I said before the season began, I kind of expect that the Falcons might be one of those rotating quarterback teams. And who knows, that could maybe become a next week. Who knows? But they do have Bijan Robinson, who's had a really spectacular season for a rookie so far. He had 105 yards rushing on the ground, and it feels like every single game he has like one type of Barry Sanders type of juke move against somebody, and he did it again in this one. So it's great to see him excel at the next level. I mean, he's a Texas Longhorn, so I always pay attention to Texas Longhorns when they move on to the pros, no matter where they go. I always like to see them do well. And Bijan Robinson, he is looking phenomenal. So congrats, dude. You're looking good. Keep it up. But sucks for you. You're on a terrible ass team. But good for the Jaguars. They put together a really good game, defensively especially. They still have some work offensively. But I really expected, you know, now that we don't have preseason football anymore, where starters, for the most part, don't play preseason football at all, I usually expect the first month of football to be kind of sloppy. And, I mean, it kind of has for the Jaguars offensively, but defensively, they're looking really, really strong. Then we had the Miami Dolphins at the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills brought the Dolphins back down to earth. I kind of expected that. I assumed their defense would step it up, and the Bills' defense stepped it up. I mean, they really held down the big three of the Dolphins all day long. It looked like it was going to be a back-and-forth affair, but man, the Bills just really put on a clinic. Josh Allen had a phenomenal day, had 320 yards and four touchdowns. And then Stephon Diggs had a career day, 120 yards and three touchdowns. So it was a big day offensively for the Bills, and they won 48-20. But the Dolphins, they just, they could not get anything going at all past the first quarter. And, they did, have a good game from, a chain, their running back. He had 101 yards and two touchdowns. But other than that, it was a pretty quiet day for the Dolphins. And I also, my concern with the Dolphins, as I've stated before, is we don't know what we're getting from them defensively. And if that's what we're getting from them defensively, then it's not going to be a good season for the Dolphins. Yes, they have blown some people up offensively, but you do need at least a halfway decent defense to at least win a Super Bowl. So this could just be a bad game from them, or this could actually be some problems that we're starting to see arise within this Dolphins team. But it was a great game from the Buffalo Bills, hands down, offensively and defensively. They just really took care of business, and they are looking really solid right now with a 48-20 win over the Dolphins. Then the worst game of the week, basically. The Denver Broncos versus the Chicago Bears actually ended up being a really good game. It's just that both teams were coming in this 0-3, looking really bad, coming off of horrible games where they got their asses kicked. They didn't just lose. They got their asses kicked. So this one, somebody had to win unless they ended up tying. And guess what? No, they did not end up tying, and it actually ended up being a really good game. Started out as a Bears ass-kicking. They, at one point in this game, had a 21-point lead, and then the Denver Broncos woke up in the second half, started to slowly make a comeback, and the Bears just started to slowly stumble all over themselves. They were part of the reason why the Broncos started to come back. Don't get me wrong. The Broncos did their damn thing. They did exactly what they were supposed to do. They made some big plays at some big times, but the Bears just got in their own way, especially towards the end. They had this this fourth down play that they couldn't convert, and then on the last play of the drive, the Bears are driving down the field. And the Broncos have already taken a lead, 31-28, and so they need to get down into field goal range to at least tie this shit up. And what happens? They are in potential field goal range, but they end up going for it, and Justin Fields throws an interception, and it was just a terrible interception. It just looked really bad. So, and he had a really good day outside of that interception, and that also that failed fourth down play. Which would have put them in field goal range as well, or they were in field goal range and they went for it on fourth and then turned it over on downs. But I mean, outside of the interception, Justin Fields had 335 yards and four touchdowns. I mean, through the air, he actually had an excellent day. It's just that one interception looks really bad because it was just at the critical point of the game, just not a good game for the Bears. Just shit is just getting worse for this team. Now they're 0-4 because the Broncos did walk away with the win 31-28, and good for them because they really needed that boost after last week. I mean, they've had a terrible season too, but losing by 50 points, you need a win. But the Bears, you know, Chase Claypool, before this game, they benched his ass. And not only did they bench his ass, they told him to not even come to the game. So that's how bad it is with their wide receiver, Chase Claypool. So, I mean, the drama just keeps building with the Chicago Bears team. And then another terrible loss for them. And here they are at 0-4. So we'll see what's to come from them. The Broncos, like I said, good for them. They really needed that win. Who knows if it's going to spark up anything for them. But it was a good win for them. I mean, they came back down 21 and they did not blink all the way until that final interception that they got off of Justin Fields. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the Cleveland Browns, and this was an absolute drubbing by the Ravens. They won 28-3. The Browns, I mean, Deshaun Watson, he injured his shoulder last week, and since no masseuses will touch him anymore, I guess his shoulder hurt too bad, so he wasn't able to play in the game yesterday, so they had a nobody McDumbfuck as their quarterback. And so I guess that explains why they only scored 3 points, because, you know, they also lost Nick Chubb a couple of weeks ago as well. So offensively, the Browns didn't do anything. And then when your defense is out on the field as long as they were yesterday, it's pretty difficult to stop anything that the Ravens were able to do. And so they walked away with the win 28-3. Lamar Jackson had another good game, 186 yards through the air and two touchdowns. And Mark Andrews, his trusty old tight end, had another good game as well, 80 yards and two touchdowns. So a very solid game from the Ravens and a very terrible game from the Browns. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the Tennessee Titans. And speaking of terrible, the Bengals were just as bad as the Cleveland Browns yesterday. They were also only able to pick up 3 points in the first quarter. The Titans just stomped them 27-3. I mean, Joe Burrow was on his ass all fucking day. I mean, it's bad watching how terrible. I mean, Joe Burrow has had to deal with a terrible offensive line since the day he hit the league. And really, if you think about it, the guy's been injured every single season of his pro career so far. You think they'd want to take care of that since he's a very effective and very good quarterback with a terrible offensive line. Imagine how good Joe Burrow would be if he had a great offensive line, or even a halfway decent offensive line. But whatever they're working with now is terrible, and it's really starting to look bad. You know, the last couple of years, they've been able to mask it with just the play of Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase on the offensive side of the ball, and then also Mixon as well. They've been able to hide it by scoring points. Defensively, they're not bad as well, but then they get their asses beat, and this season has not been good to them at all. I mean, all three losses have just been terrible, and hell, they could be 0-4. They won last week, but it was a close game, and anybody could have won that game. So it was just, they just have not been impressive at all, and part of it's this offensive line. But, I mean, give it up to the Titans. They put together a really solid game yesterday. Ryan Tannehill had 240 yards and a touchdown. Derrick Henry had 122 yards and a touchdown and passed for a touchdown as well. And so it was a great game from the Titans, terrible game from the Bengals. And it's tough to say it at this time of year, and especially because, you know, the Bengals have had their moments where they've been able to make nice second half pushes because they're very capable of it. They've got an excellent roster, but I don't know. This year it's going to be really difficult for me to actually see them anywhere near the postseason. But there's still plenty of time, but I don't know how that offensive line is going to get any better. Moving on to another terrible game. The Pittsburgh Steelers at the Houston Texans. Now, I told y'all on Friday's show, I was hesitant to pick the Texans because every time I pick the Texans, they lose because that's what they normally do. But I went with the Texans because I thought the Steelers were going to do what the Steelers ended up doing yesterday, and they only ended up with 6 points on the board. The Texans kicked their ass 30-6. It was not even close. I mean, the Steelers, offensively, this looks like probably the worst offense in the league. And that says a lot because, you know, the Bears are terrible, but at least they have Justin Fields. You know, he can provide a spark to them at certain points in the game. And hell, even the Jets, they're terrible offensively. But, you know, they have Breece Hall, a guy who can potentially bust out. And then they also have Wilson, the wide receiver Wilson, not their quarterback Wilson, the wide receiver. He's a big playmaker. So a lot of these offenses have big playmakers. The Steelers offense does not have one big playmaker in any way, shape, or form. Terrible offensive line. Kenny Pickett, not that good of a quarterback. Who the hell are their wide receivers? What the fuck's going on at tight end? Najee Harris, where the hell you been? Like, this offense is absolute shit. And I'm trying to think off the top of my head, a worse offense in the league at this current point in time. And I really can't think of anybody worse than the Pittsburgh Steelers this season offensively. They are shit. Now, on the other side of the ball, the Texans, man, CJ Stroud. This dude has been money all season long. Still has not thrown an interception. And he's a rookie in his fourth game playing for the Texans. No interceptions. That is fucking phenomenal right there. And he had 306 yards through the air and 2 touchdowns yesterday. This guy is money. So congratulations to the Texans because I think you got a quarterback, if anything. So you got the future of your franchise right there if you don't fuck shit up, which the Texans are known to do. But it looks a little, the future kind of looks promising for them with Stroud at quarterback and D'Amico Ryans at coach. So who knows? Maybe the Texans have a future, but they looked pretty damn good yesterday. Then at running back, Damian Pierce had a good day, 81 yards. And through the air, Nico Collins had 168 yards and 2 of those touchdowns from C.J. Stroud. So a really, really good game from the Texans and a really terrible, terrible game from the Steelers, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, tell me who is worse than them offensively. I don't know. But I don't think there's anybody in the league worse than the Steelers offensively right now. Moving on to a very exciting game yesterday, the Los Angeles Rams at the Indianapolis Colts. This game ended up going into overtime. Now, it started out as a Rams ass-kicking, and then all of a sudden, Richardson gets this second win and just starts making this epic comeback for the Colts. Game gets all tied up, and we're headed into overtime. Tied up at 23. And the Rams, Puka Nacua, I don't know where the fuck this guy came from, but he is that dude. I don't know why nobody's not cover up this dude, but he made the big plays yesterday, especially in overtime. Ended up with the game-winning touchdown, and the Rams walked away with the win 29-23. Matthew Stafford had a big game, 319 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. That offensive line looks pretty terrible, though, so that at least Stafford's able to overcome that, but that offensive line is really bad for the Rams. And then Kyren Williams, the running back of the Rams, had another big game as well, 103 yards and two touchdowns. And then, as I mentioned, Puka Nacua. Not only did he have the game-winning touchdown, but he had 163 receiving yards. So Rams had a pretty good game. I mean, defensively, too, especially in the first half. They looked really solid. But, hey, look, give it up to the Colts, man. This Anthony Richardson, he's also turning out to be a pretty solid quarterback so far. I mean, he's not perfect, obviously. He's a rookie, but he's looking pretty damn good at this current point in time for the Colts. Then moving on to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers dominated the Saints 26-9. Baker Mayfield continues his reign of terror for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 246 yards and three touchdowns. This guy, I don't know where the fuck did this come from. I guess when you play for the Browns, that's why you look like shit. When you've got some good receivers to pass to, you're going to get some touchdowns there. So Baker Mayfield's been holding it down so far for the Bucs. They're 3-1 at this point, current point in time in the season. Chris Godwin, big game yesterday as well, 114 yards, and just a terrible game from the New Orleans Saints overall. I don't know if Derek Carr was suffering any issues from that shoulder injury, but they looked bad. Now, granted, it was a division matchup, so you never know what's going to happen in those matchups, but the Saints did not look good at all yesterday. Then another overtime game was the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles, and this was actually a back-and-forth game from start to finish. This was an extreme division battle, and I mean, at first it looked like Washington was going to start to run away with it, and then the second half came around, and they really just started to crumble. But then the fourth quarter came around, and boom, they get it going, and we're headed into overtime, tied up at 31. And it once again went back and forth in overtime, and the Eagles were just able to take advantage of being the better team, just getting set up in better field position at better times. And the Eagles were able to get the game-winning field goal 34-31 in overtime. Jalen Hurts had 319 yards and two touchdowns. DeAndre Swift had another solid game, 56 yards and a touchdown. And then A.J. Brown had a huge game, 175 yards and two touchdowns. Now, I will say he had a big penalty that changed the game for the Eagles, because the Eagles actually ended up taking the lead on a touchdown. And then A.J. Brown got called for a taunting penalty, which backed up the kickoff and set the Commanders up in really good field position. They were able to drive the ball down the field, get the game-tying touchdown to send it into overtime. So A.J. Brown almost cost them the game with that stupid-ass taunting penalty. So you might want to watch it with that shit. But otherwise, he had a fantastic game. Then we had the Minnesota Vikings at the Carolina Panthers. This was another battle of two winless squads, so somebody had to win it unless they ended up tied. And the Vikings ended up getting the win, 21-13. Justin Jefferson had a big day, 85 yards, two touchdowns. Kirk Cousins do what Kirk Cousins do, get in the red zone and then threw a pick six in the red zone. So actually, it actually looked like the Panthers were going to run away easily with this game. They had a pretty decent lead to start, but then the Vikings did slowly put it together. Alexander Mattison has finally started to put it together on the ground. He had 95 yards on the ground, but I don't know, man. Kirk Cousins doing what he do, but they got the win, 21-13. Panthers are still winless, but, you know, Bryce Young, rookie quarterback, can't say I'm surprised that they're 0-4, because that's just going to happen when you have a rookie quarterback. Then we have the Las Vegas Raiders at the Los Angeles Chargers. This was an ass-kicking from the Chargers all the way up until the second half, and then the Raiders started to get into gear, and the Chargers barely walked away with this win, 24-17. A very odd play at the end. Didn't end up costing them, but I just thought it was a very odd play. The Chargers ended up getting a interception in the red zone. It looked like the Raiders were going to at least, they were in the red zone, looked like they were going to at least, you know, get a field goal or something of that nature. And so they're down there, they end up throwing the interception, and it would have been an easy pick six. But for some reason, the cornerback, you know, did that dumb shit where he just, he knelt down and just took the interception there. And if you actually watch the replay, you actually see the coach on the sideline of the Chargers, like, telling him to get down, or at least it looked like he was doing that. And it's, like, weird because it's like, y'all didn't have that big of a lead. You kind of think you would want that pick six, or at least have him run down the field a bit to get the hell out of that area, of that side of the field. And so that actually almost cost them the game because, of course, it was just a bunch of stupid calls from the Chargers side. And it's just like, they're just so stupid. Like, they had such a huge lead. I mean, Khalil Mack had a huge game. He had a career day with 6 sacks. So that guy, he just stepped it up defensively. And that's what the Chargers need, because defensively, they've looked really bad. But offensively, they just had some really, really weird play calls and really weird, let's, of course, go for it in fourth down when we shouldn't, and we're on the wrong side of the field. It just was not a well coached game as usual. Now, like I said, Chargers got the win 24-17, so good for them. But that not running back the pick six, I don't understand it, and I don't get why the coach would want you to get down in that situation. But like I said, they got the win, so there you go. Then we had the best game of the day, at least in my opinion, of course. The New England Patriots at my Dallas Cowboys. Man, oh man. Man, oh man. My Dallas Cowboys gave Bill Belichick the worst loss of his entire career, which says a lot because Bill Belichick's had a long-ass career, but he never had a loss like this. The Cowboys stomped the Patriots yesterday 38-3. And I mean, it wasn't even close. The Cowboys, thankfully, they bounced back from that horrible game last week against the Cardinals, and they put it all back together this week. They looked great offensively, defensively, and on special teams. They made big plays all the way around. Dak Prescott had a phenomenal game, 261 yards and a touchdown. Tony Pollard had a good day, 47 yards. But of course, it was all about our defense. We had 2 interceptions. We had a forced fumble. We had 2 touchdowns. And then, like I said, even special teams, on one of the extra points, we actually ended up throwing it for a 2-point conversion. And so, hey, we looked good on all 3 phases of the game. And Bill Belichick, he just was just frustrated all day. Mac Jones just looked terrible. I mean, those interceptions he threw were just bad. And then, of course, the fumble was bad as well. I mean, all the turnovers were his fault. So it was just an absolutely atrocious game from the Patriots and a spectacular game from the Cowboys, one that I needed to see from them, especially since we have the San Francisco 49ers coming up this week. So we need to bring in at least a game like that to them so we can get something under our belts headed into San Francisco. But it was a perfect game from the Cowboys. And it's exactly what I've always wanted to see, because usually the Patriots kick our ass. But finally, we not only kicked their ass, but we handed Bill Belichick the worst loss of his entire career. So awesome. Good job, Cowboys, and keep it up. But I don't know what we're going to see from the New England Patriots the rest of the season, because offensively, they're extremely ineffective, and they also lost their 2 best defensive players to injury yesterday for God knows how long. You know, Matthew Judon looks like he suffered a biceps tear. Sometimes those are season-ending. Sometimes they're like half the season, so we'll see what happens with him, but he's their best defensive player. Then they have their rookie cornerback Gonzalez, who's been phenomenal so far, and then he also suffered an injury. Not sure what the extent of it is and how long he's going to be out, but going to be a long season for them New England Patriots. Moving on to another ass-kicking game was the Arizona Cardinals at the San Francisco 49ers. Christian McCaffrey had 4 touchdowns yesterday in a 35-16 win over the Cardinals. He had 106 yards on the ground, 3 touchdowns, and then 1 receiving touchdown. Then Brock Purdy, he also had a practically perfect game, had 283 yards through the air and a touchdown. And Brandon Ayuk, He has had a phenomenal season as well at wide receiver. He had 148 yards through the air. He's actually been the guy. Debo Samuel's usually the guy at wide receiver. Ayuk have been having a huge breakout season so far for the 49ers. So 49ers did what they do, kicked the crap out of the Cardinals. Should be a pretty damn good matchup next week, Dallas Cowboys versus the San Francisco 49ers for Sunday Night Football. Speaking of Sunday Night Football, last night's matchup was the Kansas City Chiefs at the New York Jets, and it shockingly turned out to be a good game. Now, I thought it was going to be an ass-kicking because, you know, Zach Wilson's terrible, but Zach Wilson basically had the best game of his career last night. Now, granted, he also had a costly play of the game last night. Not that I think they would have won. I still think they probably would have come up short in the end. But he did end up fumbling the ball on the on a critical drive, basically their last drive, ended up fumbling the ball, giving the Chiefs the ball back, and they were able to just run out all of the clock and take the win 23-20. But, I mean, defensively, Jets had Patrick Mahomes running for his life. He threw a couple interceptions last night. So defensively, Jets look really solid. Zach Wilson, like I said, outside of that fumble, he had a really good game, 245 yards, two touchdowns. As I said, it was probably the best game in his entire career. But I mean, what else? I mean, really, what does he have to lose at this point in time? I mean, everybody thinks he's terrible, so why not just play like a maniac? And he did. He played really well, even in a loss. But Isaiah Pacheco was way too much for the Jets to overcome. He actually had 20 carries, 115 yards, and a touchdown. He also had some receiving yards as well, and a touchdown receiving also. So he had overall 168 yards total, or 170, something like that. So he just had a career day as well. So he was way too much for the Jets to overcome. And then, of course, just the Jets are a terrible team, and the game ended how Jets games usually end. So, I mean, the Jets should just be kind of used to losing like that. But the Kansas City Chiefs would move on to win. And now we have Monday Night Football tonight. We have the Seattle Seahawks at the New York Giants. Right now, the Seahawks are a 1.5-point favorite. I can't remember if Saquon's playing tonight. I don't believe he is. Even if he is, I don't think it matters. The Giants are just a terrible-ass team. Seattle, not an amazing team, but at least they have some type of direction. They know what they're all about, and so I just kind of feel like Seattle's going to come out and really just dominate the Giants at all ends of the field tonight. I don't think the Giants are going to be able to stop them on the run, and I don't think the Giants are going to be able to do anything offensively. So I have the Seattle Seahawks winning tonight's game 24-10. All right, now moving on to playoff baseball. That's right, people. The Major League Baseball playoffs begin tomorrow. We have the wild card rounds kicks off tomorrow, Tuesday. And then we have the division series kicking off Saturday over the weekend. So we have us a bunch of great matchups. So let's get into the seeding. We'll go ahead and get into the brackets. And then we'll get into all my predictions for each and every matchup. The current ones, and who I ultimately think is going to win the World Series, even though I feel like that should be fairly obvious. But let's start off with who ended up in the playoffs. Let's start off with the American League. Number one overall seed, the Baltimore Orioles. Number two, Houston Astros. Number three, the Minnesota Twins. Number four, the Tampa Bay Rays. Number five, the Texas Rangers. And number six, the Toronto Blue Jays. Then turning to the National League, the number one overall seed, the Atlanta Braves. Number two seed, the Los Angeles Dodgers. Number three seed, the Milwaukee Brewers. Number four seed, the Philadelphia Phillies. Number five seed is the Miami Marlins. And the number six seed is the Arizona Diamondbacks. So that's who we have coming into the playoffs. Now let's see what matchups we've got going on to start. So the wild card matchups are as such. We have the number six seeded Toronto Blue Jays versus the number three seeded Minnesota Twins. I think these are both two equally balanced teams. Starting pitching is stacked for both squads, but I think where the Blue Jays have the edge in this matchup is with their their stellar lineup. You know, they've got Bo Bichette, who has had a career year so far. And then, of course, you've got Vlad Guerrero Jr., who's just been one of the best hitters in the league since the day he hit the league. And they just overall are a really good team offensively. And the Twins, I've just never been convinced that they're even really a good team. They're only here, in my opinion, because they're in a terrible last division. So I have the Toronto Blue Jays winning in two games in the first American League wild card matchup. And then the second wild card American League matchup is the number 5 Texas Rangers versus the number 4 Tampa Bay Rays. These are also two very evenly matched teams, and they're two of the most battle-tested teams that have had to overcome the most, at least injury-wise. I mean, they've both lost aces. They're some of the best starting pitchers, not just on their team, but in the league. They've lost just so many. They've just really gone through so many injuries throughout the season, but yet they're still able to overcome all of that. With that being said, though, I think the Tampa Bay Rays have been much more consistent than the Texas Rangers, even at this point in time. The Rays' lulls have not been as bad as the Texas Rangers, especially because the Rangers basically lost their division on the last game of the season. So that's not how you want to roll into it. Whereas the Rays, they started out the season really, really hot. And I feel like that hot streak helped them get into the playoffs, but also they really maintained their position all season long. And so I do think they're the slight better team. And I think if it just comes down to it where they need to go into the bullpen, or if it just comes down to critical hits or critical defensive plays in the big moments, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Rays. So I do have the Tampa Bay Rays moving on in the wild card division in 3 games. So then my ALDS matchups would be number 6 Toronto versus number 2 Houston Astros. The Houston Astros, when it comes to playoffs, they always put it together. It doesn't really matter how they get into the playoffs, how their regular season went. They're just a team that knows how to win come playoff time, and you really can't count them out, whereas the Toronto Blue Jays, they have never won shit, at least not in recent times. So I have the Astros winning in that series 4 games. And then the other ALDS matchup I have is the number 4 Tampa Bay Rays at the number 1 Baltimore Orioles. This is a division matchup. Both of these teams went back and forth all season long, not only with the division, but with each other. I mean, they have had some tense battles. So I expect this to go to the distance. I expect it to go 5 games, but I'm going to take Baltimore. I just think Baltimore has been the most consistent team in the American League all season long. And so I think they're more battle-tested. And in a 5-game series, I think they have much more depth and they don't have the injury problems that Tampa Bay still has to deal with up to this point. So I have Baltimore moving on. So my ALCS is the Houston Astros versus the Baltimore Orioles. And this one was tough, because like I said, the Astros are a damn good team when it comes to the postseason, and the Orioles are so unproven, but they've been the most consistent all season long. But when it comes to the playoffs, it doesn't matter what the hell you did in the regular season. And with the Houston Astros coming in hot, winning their division in the last day of the season, I think the Houston Astros are going to make a run, and I got the Houston Astros moving on to the World Series and representing the American League, and I've got them beating the Orioles in 6 games. So moving on to the National League, the wild card matchups, I have the number 6 Arizona Diamondbacks versus the number 3 Milwaukee Brewers. I do think both of these teams match up very well against each other, starting pitching especially, and I do think it's going to be a battle between the starting pitching, and I just think Arizona's starting pitching is just slightly deeper, and I feel like that the Diamondbacks are playing better baseball and more consistent baseball than the Brewers, so I'm taking the Diamondbacks to win that matchup in 3 games. Then the second wild card matchup is the number 5 Miami Marlins versus the number 4 Philadelphia Phillies. And the Phillies are playing just like they did last year when they headed to the World Series. And they're going to be difficult for me to pick against. And especially against the Marlins, I don't think the Marlins have a chance. So I think the Marlins get swept easily and the Phillies move on easily to the NLDS in 2 games. So my NLDS matchups are the number 6 Arizona Diamondbacks versus the number 2 Los Angeles Dodgers. That is their division opponent. And so I expect this to be a good series, especially because Arizona has played the Dodgers very well all season long, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers. They do tend to play well in the postseason. They do choke up at times, but I don't think they're going to choke against the Diamondbacks. I don't think the Diamondbacks have what it takes to outlast the Dodgers in a postseason matchup. So I have the Dodgers moving on in that matchup at 4 games. And then my other division series matchup is number 4, Philadelphia Phillies versus the number 1, Atlanta Braves. While the Phillies are playing really well right now, and this is a division matchup, Atlanta is too damn good, in my opinion. I think it's going to take a lot to beat them. And Atlanta, yes, this is a division opponent. And yes, they know each other well. And they've both played each other well all season. But I think Atlanta's going to trounce the Phillies. And I think they're going to win in 3 games. So my NLCS is the Los Angeles Dodgers versus the Atlanta Braves. And like I said, I think the Braves are that good. I don't think anybody competes with them. And I've got them winning the NLCS in 5 games because I just think they're better than the Dodgers. And also, like I said, the Dodgers are just known to choke in the playoffs. Always have. At least in the last, 20, 30 years. They won in 2020. Yes, they won the World Series in 2020, the shortened season, but, and still it counts. But usually the Dodgers are known for choking. The Braves are not, at least in recent history. So I got the Braves winning that one in 5 games. So my World Series matchup is the Houston Astros versus the Atlanta Braves. And like I said, I just think the Braves are too damn good. They are so good at every single fucking position. How can you keep up with them? Their starting pitching is deep. Their bullpen is deep. They have Ronald Acuna Jr., for Christ's sake. This guy is a beast. And it's not even just him. They've got Ozzie Albies. They've got Matt Olson. They've just got so many dudes you could just name off. They're stacked. Now, the Astros are stacked as well, but they haven't been consistent all season long. And yes, they're a great postseason team, but I have the Atlanta Braves winning the World Series in 5 games. So like I said, wild card matchups kick off on Tuesday. What I love so much about the beginning of playoff baseball is since I work from home, I get to watch all the games if they start in the middle of the day, which they do. Playoff baseball starts here in Texas at 2 p.m., so I'm fucking excited about that. Get to watch baseball all day long until I go to sleep starting on Tuesday. So we have the AL wild card matchups, Toronto Blue Jays versus the Minnesota Twins, Texas Rangers versus the Tampa Bay Rays. Then the NL wildcard matchups beginning on Tuesday, Arizona Diamondbacks versus the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Miami Marlins versus the Philadelphia Phillies. So on Wednesday's show, we'll see where we're at with all those matchups, and then we'll see who's moving on Saturday to the division series. And then rounding out today's show, my dude Canelo Alvarez moved on easily. He is still the undisputed champ. Won in a unanimous decision over the weekend. Got his 60th win over Jermell Charlo. And gotta say, Charlo, I expected a lot more out of you in this fight. Now, I knew you hadn't fought in, a year and a half, maybe even 2 years. I know it's been a minute since Charlo's fought. And I said it could go either way, where it might affect him in a negative way or it might affect him in a positive way. You know, taking all that rest, he hasn't been taking all the hits that Canelo has, but Canelo's been doing all the training. And by the way, as I said, Canelo looked great in that last match after he had the surgery on his wrist. Dude looked great in this one. But just Charlo, not a very... I expected more. I expected more from Charlo. He just did not look good. He did not look sharp. He did not look on point. But Canelo, not trying to take anything away from him. He owned his ass. He dominated his ass. He was delivering all the big blows all night. Even knocked down Charlo, which is not something that normally happens to him. So it was a good fight from Canelo. He showed out. He showed he is, at least in my opinion, the best boxer, at least right now. In boxing, but he looked good. Charlo, just a big disappointment, and it was a unanimous decision, and Canelo moves on and gets his 60th career win, which is big. So congratulations to Canelo Alvarez on that win. So, all right, guys, we've got Monday Night Football tonight, and playoff baseball begins tomorrow. So enjoy the rest of the week of sports. and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.